Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our heads, Father God, our hearts before you.
Yes.
Knowing, Lord God, you are all sufficient. You are our provider. Father God, may you open your word to us even this morning.
Amen.
May you open our hearts, Father, that you may receive it, Lord. May you grant us grace, Father, to speak your word, even the mystery, Father God,
glory,
which you have revealed to us, even in these closing days of time. Father God, we pray that you heal us, Father God, even our spirits. Father God, may you enable us, Lord, to see the purpose, Father God, of your calling us to your word.
Amen.
We commit this, Father God, as I commit myself into your hands, Lord, that you may help me. And may you anoint these feeble lips, Father, that I may be able to speak that which, Father God, you desired your people to hear this morning.
Amen.
We commit the hearers, Father God, in your hands. May you bless each one of us, Lord. May you bless us, Father God, that we may come to the perfection, Lord, and the full stature of that perfect man to be received in glory.
Hallelujah.
We ask all this, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just want to read one verse from the book of Luke. Chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. At one time Peter said, I want to bring to your remembrance, I want to stir your hearts that we may remember not something new, but what we already know, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have spoken, but we just want this morning to go through it again and see the will of God in our lives. Verse 1 in chapter 11 of the book of Luke. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he seized one of his disciples, said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
Amen. We just want to speak on prayer. We see here this morning that the Lord Jesus, as he was praying, the disciples saw a difference and desired to be taught how to pray. They saw the way he was praying, and they could see not only here, but we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was even in the temple, he would heal the sick, and then in the evening he would go and pray. At the death of Lazarus, we hear him praying. So the disciples could see when Jesus was praying, the impact of his prayer, the way he prayed, so much that they desired not only to do it the way he was doing, because as they saw him doing what he was doing, they could have simply, you know, done the way he was doing. But they said, you teach us how to pray. And I think that is a good precedence that the disciples did here for us. That we don't want just to do things because maybe we've seen somebody doing it. As much as it is good to emulate good which is done by somebody, mm-hmm. but there's something more when that good is taught and you do it because it has been taught to you.
Right.
As the brother was leading song said, the glory of the mango tree was in the fruits. When he saw the fruits, then he could see the glory.
Right.
So it has always been like that, that the good that we do is not just something that we see somebody doing and then we ignorantly do it, or we see somebody doing good and then we just follow suit, as much as it is good. But it is much more better, and to our edification, if it can be taught of us. The Lord Jesus, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "You are blessed, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." As much as flesh and blood could see and recognize that Jesus was the Son of God. But when it came as a revelation, as the prophet Isaiah said, the children of God are taught of God.
Right.
So it is that which brings us into that true fellowship, into the truth of the purpose and the reality of God in our lives.
Amen.
If it is taught in us to do what we are supposed to be doing. So Jesus, when they asked him that, "Teach us how to pray," he went on to teach them when to pray, how to pray,
Amen.
And why to pray. So he took them into the reality, into the purpose, into the life of prayer. So we want to see this morning what actually prayer is for us, what actually prayer is to us, what prayer has in our life and for our life. So here Jesus gets into teaching them. I think we find that in the book of Matthew,
right.
Chapter 6. Jesus starts to teach them as they ask, "Teach us how to pray." In verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for they are much speaking. But not ye therefore, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him."
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Now here Jesus is now teaching us how to pray. He says that prayer is not just a repetition of words. Because the heathens, they believe and they think they will be answered through their much speaking and repetition of words.
Right.
But the Lord says, when you pray, already God knows what you need. Before we ask for it, God already knows. So, to God, and so much also for us, prayer is not an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Because God already knows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that is a crisis to God. That something has happened. You know, it's like when an accident happens on the road, many people are informed, the police, the ambulance people, the fire brigade, and all those the civil defense of the country. Because something has happened which people were not expecting,
mm-hmm.
something that was not in their plans. So there's an emergency because something has just come upon a people. But the Lord is telling us that, as for us, as much as we need to pray, as much as we come to God, yes, there are times of desperation, there are times when our lives meet obstacles, but let's bear in our mind that whatever situation we come into with God, it is not an emergency.
Right.
Because already God knew, already God had seen, already God has the knowledge of what is going to happen.
Right.
And now when we pray, yes, we are praying for God to give us or to bail us out or to bless us, to heal us, but already God knows our needs. And we know also that throughout the ages, prayer has been part of humanity. And it is that which caused people, you know, to worship. Those who worship the sun, those who worship the moon, those who worship ancestors, you know, it has come from a need by the people. So people from way back, they have learned to come to a higher order. They have recognized that there is a higher order. Because people need rain. They ended up having the God of rain.
Mm-hmm.
People needed life. Until now, they're the God of maturity, the God of fertility, the God of this, the God of this. Because they have a desire in their lives. And now they form a God. They form something. Like Paul says, when I came to your city, I saw many temples. Sure, there were many temples, the God of war, the God of thunder, the God of rain, the God of harvest. All these gods were created by the people, rather than the gods created the people. For the need that was in people. The desire for this, a desire for that, and a desire for that. And then they ended up building temples to worship these gods. So you see, prayer is brought to people the idea of worship. Now, but as for us, there's a purpose why God also needs us to pray. So it says here, He knows our needs. He knows what we have need of.
Amen.
And because He knows what we have need of, then He says, you should pray. He says, knock, it shall be opened.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you come to God to knock, you don't knock on the wall. You knock on a door. And the door before you knock, the builder, the carpenter, the engineer, whoever designed that door, made it in a way that it can be opened.
Right.
So it is not your knock that opens the door. But the door has already been designed to be opened.
Amen.
So he says, when you pray, he already knows what you need. He already has an understanding. Because when the door is put there, it's for the purpose of you to walk in. So the designer has to design it in a way that when it is open, you can walk in. It is not just as small as that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's a door.
Right.
But it has to be big enough to let you in. So when you pray, already God, in His sovereignty, has provided both the answer and also that desire for you to ask Him. So to Him, it's not an emergency. To Him, There's a reason why he wants you to pray. Although the thing is already there. If you want healing, healing does not come because you have prayed. But healing is there. And you pray because it is there.
Right.
You get it because it's already there.
Right.
So God has made us in a way that we be able to ask for that which is already provided.
Amen.
So when you pray, you are not heard because of repetition of words. You are not heard because you have shouted a lot. And the Lord Jesus says, don't be like the heathen. They have a desire. So when he says about the heathens, sure, they will be praying. And even sometimes to God himself. You know, usually, when I go on a plane, I've seen it very much when I'm flying to Manila or from Manila. It looks like the people in the Philippines, you know, I've not seen it among many people, but usually among them. You know, when he comes and he sits on the seat and the plane is about to take off, you just see him bow down and then he does that. You know, because this thing can break anytime, or it can go into a mountain, or it can fall into the sea. So this person makes sure that at least why he does that, he is desiring that God may intervene so that he can reach his destination safely.
Right.
So after doing that, the plane goes, lands, say, in Manila. When it lands in Manila, he comes off the plane. It looks like he has been heard because he prayed for safety and he has been granted.
Right.
Where does he go? He goes to the beer hall or whatever outlet they call it. He goes, buys this beer and he starts to drink. Maybe the first thing off the plane, he lights his cigarette and he smokes. But he has asked for safety and he has been granted.
Amen.
He has asked for a safe journey, he has been granted. And the first thing he does, he smokes his cigar or drinks his beer. Is that the way we want it to be with us when we pray?
No.
Is that the purpose why God said we should ask him for things? So you can see prayer is not just about getting things from God. It's not just about receiving something from God, be it good. But there's something that God desires us. Because we are the children of God. God has got a purpose with us. We have been predestinated unto a certain glory.
Amen.
And then God wants us to get to that glory.
Amen.
And prayer is part of our way to get what God really wants us to have.
Right.
And so prayer may not be the real thing you need. You may need something that is more than what you are praying for. But God has made it that you go through prayer to get to that perfect thing.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer is not an emergency. Prayer is not something which is an end in itself. Prayer brings us to something that is greater than what we are asking for.
Amen.
Amen. In the second book of Peter, chapter 1, Second Peter chapter 1. We want to read verse 2, 3, and 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness,
Amen.
Through the knowledge of him that he has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Amen.
Amen. Now, God has called us not only to call on him in time of need, but God has given us a knowledge of himself. You see? That's why the disciples said the right thing when they said, teach us how to pray. We must be imparted the knowledge of God, he to whom we are coming. Peter says, we have been given that knowledge of who God is and what he is to us. And by the power, by his power, he has given us all things that pertain to life. Amen.
Amen.
We have been given the knowledge and the power to know and to have all things that pertain to life, so that we may have life, so that we may live according to the purpose of him. God has given us the knowledge. He has given us the power. He has enabled us. You know, it's like a police officer. He has given the authority to arrest. He has been given authority to apply the law of the land. So that's what God has done to us. He has given us the things that are needed so that we can live.
Amen.
What is life? Life is to be in God. Life is to fulfill the purpose of God. That's why Jesus said, my sheep, I'll give them life. Not only life, but abundant life.
Life,
life in its fullness.
Life.
Because, as I said, if this guy asks God to protect him on the plane so that he can reach a destination, after reaching that destination, you'll do things that it were even better had he died on the plane than reach the destination.
That's true.
So is that the purpose why we ask God to give us things? That in the end, the very things that God has given us will make us perish, will destroy our lives. That is not prayer.
Yes.
So prayer is when God has given us the power and the knowledge of the things that he needs us to know.
Amen.
And again here he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises.
Right.
So it is God who gives us exceedingly great promises. What's the purpose of the promises? It says here that he might be partakers of his divine nature.
Amen.
So it is the promises of God that give us the divine nature. God does not just impart on us his divine nature. He gives us promises. And by the promise, we come to that attainment of divine nature. And through that, we will escape from the corruption that is in the world.
Amen.
Amen. So you see, God gives us, God reveals to us these great promises. And when we desire the promises of God, then it will impact on us the divine nature of God. So what is prayer? Prayer is coming to God, desiring what will make us partakers of his nature. So at the end of the day, we don't only receive healing. We don't only receive a blessing. We don't only receive this or that. But after we have received all these things, they bring us into a particular position it has an impact on he who has prayed. Look at Peter. When Jesus wanted to preach, he bought a boat from Peter. Peter was busy washing his nets. So Jesus borrowed the boat and he preached. Peter was all busy washing his nets. Nothing happened to him. After Jesus had finished, he says to Peter, throw your net. He says, through my experience, I know there are no longer fish there because the position of the sun and, you know, I know I've been fishing. There's no more fish there. But Jesus says, what you say, it I'll do. He threw the net and he caught a lot of fish. When he caught the fish, he just threw them there. He went to the Lord and says, depart from me, I'm a sinner. Now, if you want to see the relevance of him getting the fish, he should have raised up his hands and glorified God and sung songs. Now, God has given me the fish I wanted. But getting the fish got him into something deeper than just getting fish.
Right.
He examined his soul. He examined his life. He examined his way of living. He had to come to the Lord and say, I'm a sinner.
Amen.
Not because God rebuked him. Not because God had told him you are a sinner. That's why we say it. It will give an impact on you that the divine nature of God by the promises that God gives to you.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are praying, we are not manufacturing something new. We are not discovering something new. We are only walking in the path already made for us by God.
Amen.
Not to attain what we think we should attain, but to attain the purpose of God.
Amen. Right.
Let's see how people prayed in the beginning. In Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verse 8 up to 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah, he herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen.
Amen.
Here it is now. It was God who called Abraham out of idolatry. It was God who called Abraham to come out of Ur of the Chaldeans. It was God who told Abraham, go to a land that I'll give you as an inheritance for your children. And then Abraham went, and it is called the land of promise. And Peter rightly says, by great magnificent promises, we obtain the divine nature. So here God is giving Abraham a promise. It was because of that promise that Abraham prayed. That promise changed the lifestyle of Abraham. Because he was promised, he had to come out of Ur. Because he was promised, he had to leave his relatives and his country and his kinsmen. Because God had promised him. And if you want to see when he was promised, he came into the land, and then it says he built an altar and prayed to God, who had revealed himself to him. So you see, his prayer was based upon first God calling him and giving him a promise. He did not just come to pray, but the prayer was for him to come into that purpose already designed by God. And we are told here that he even desired a city with foundation, whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
Can you see where his prayer gets him to? It's not only to get the child. Yes, he was promised the child, but he prayed for the child, and through prayer for the child, he went on to get the revelation, because his prayer life gave him the nature of God, the life of God, the divine nature of God. And because he had now the nature of God in him, he got the revelation that God did not only want him to have a child here on earth, but there was a greater purpose for him. Can you see where prayer takes us?
Amen.
It's not just to get something. Yes, the Bible says Sarah was old. She believed, and God gave her a child in her old age. It was good. But was that the end? It was only the beginning of the greater thing that God desired to give Abraham.
Amen.
So it's prayer to us. It's not just to get this or get that. As much as we get it, it will bring us into a better life with God. You know, Paul at one time says, if Christ is beneficial to us only in this life, we are a people most miserable.
Yes.
If our worshiping, if our prayers are an answer to something that is just every and it ends there, it were better if we had not even got it.
Right.
Because it does not accomplish, it does not attain the purpose of God in our life.
Amen.
So you see, Abraham, he started to pray. Why? Because God had promised him.
Mm-hmm.
If you see, okay, let's just see chapter 15 of Genesis and see how God dealt with Abraham. I think chapter 15 verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, and thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. It is God who came to Abraham. It is God who is telling Abraham, don't fear, I'm your great reward. Amen.
Amen.
And then Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?
Amen.
Now, because of the revelation God had given to Abraham, who God was to Abraham, what God was to Abraham, it set Abraham into prayer. You are my reward. You are my everything. Now look here, my situation. I'm going childless. Amen. You know, you are asking for healing. It is not your prayer that makes God a healer. He is a healer. That's why you are praying for healing.
Right.
Can you see?
Right.
God reveals it to you.
Amen.
Who he is. That's why the prophet said, you know, when you pray and you have faith, you have received it before you even pray.
Amen.
Why? Because it is the purpose of God in your life. God has got the very thing that you need. But he has got even greater than what is spoken.
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say we don't even know how to pray?
Right.
But the Spirit of God in words which are too deep to be uttered prays for us.
Amen.
In our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see what prayer is?
Amen.
Abraham starts to pray. You are my reward. You are almighty. Fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield. I'm your reward. Because of that revelation, it sent Abraham into prayer. What are you going to give me? That means he's praying now for the child. And what does God do? He says, come out. Look at the stars. If you can number the stars, so shall you number your children. Amen. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness.
Amen.
And then the Bible says, the righteous shall live by faith.
Amen.
Amen. So here, Abraham starts to pray. And then God starts to promise him. He's not given what he has prayed for. He's given a promise. Can you see? And that promise makes Abraham believe in God. And then God says, you are righteous. Amen. Before he even gets what he's praying for, he has attained a position. He has attained a place in the things and the kingdom of God. So what did actually God want to give Abraham? You can see that God wanted to give him something more than just a son. Because he gives him the righteousness. And that righteousness, as Paul says, was even before his circumcision. So it is not because he was circumcised that God called him righteous. But it gave him a place in the things and in the kingdom of God that he was righteous. So much that in the next chapter, God changes his name. You can no longer be Abram. You shall be Abraham.
Right.
A part of God in him.
Amen.
Because he had prayed right. Because God had promised him. Amen.
Amen.
So you see what prayer does. It gave him the desire. It gave him the ability to walk with God. So Jesus also, as we have seen, he prayed. But how did he pray? To the extent that the disciples say, teach us how to pray. Let's see Jesus praying in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew 26, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Amen.
Amen.
Here is the Lord praying. No wonder the disciples say, teach us how to pray. The Lord Jesus went to pray. And when he went to pray, he could see Calvary. He could see the death on Calvary. He could see the pain it would inflict on him. He saw everything that would pass, what he would pass through. After he had seen that, he says, Father, the cup is bitter. If it be your will, may this cup just pass. But not my will. But he is the one who is praying. He is the one who has gone to pray. But he says, let this cup pass. The bitterness of death, make it pass. The bitterness of the cross, may it pass. But it must not be my will, but your will. So when we pray, you know, like Jesus here prayed. He did not take this issue, you know, as an emergency. That just because it has happened here. Have you ever seen, as I was saying, this example on the plane. Have you ever seen somebody who just comes into a situation whereby things are just haywire? He doesn't know whether to turn to the right or to the left. Things are difficult. And then he just says, oh, let the will of God be done. Let the will of God be done. Like you are in your automobile. It's turning. It's rolling. And you're praying, let the will of God be done. Do you think in the mind of the prayer, the mind of the one who is praying, he is saying, God, let me die. To him, the will of God is for him to survive the accident. And you pray, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Let the will of God be done. But in actual fact, he wants the will of God to be that he is delivered from this death. But it was not so with Jesus. It was not such an emergency to him that he sought and desired God there. But he says from the heart and from his life, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. When did he start to desire the will of God? Was it when he was in Gethsemane? Was it when he was in problems? Was it because he was facing Calvary that he sought the will of God? Let's see the way Jesus prayed. In John chapter 4, verse 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, yet any man brought him aught to eat. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. Amen. Here is the will that he was asking in Gethsemane. Father, let this cup pass. But not my will, but thy will be done. It's not the will that was prompted by the situation there. He did not see God's will because he was in problems at that particular time and moment. He did not see the intervention of God because he was in a dilemma. The will that he was praying for in Gethsemane, here it is, way before Calvary.
Amen.
He's saying, my food is to do the will of him who sent me.
Amen.
What is food? Is our source of life.
Mm-hmm.
Food is what keeps us going.
Amen.
So he says, for me to keep going is doing the will of my Father.
Amen.
For me to be alive is the will of my Father.
Amen.
So when he comes to this critical moment, he says in his words what he lived in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He is not heard because of many words, but he is heard because the life that he lives is for that will.
Amen.
Can you see? So what is prayer? Prayer is not an emergency. Prayer is not just because there's something critical.
Uh-huh.
Prayer is an expression of what has always been in you.
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say, by the divine promises, he imparts on us his divine nature.
Amen.
And that divine nature brings us out of the corruption that is in the world.
Amen.
Can you see? That's why Peter, when he was given the desire of his heart, he said, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinner. He could look beyond the answered prayer. He could look beyond the fish that God gave him. If really God answers your prayer like he did to Abraham, it will have an impact on your life.
Amen.
You can never be the same after God has answered your prayer.
Amen.
Sarah was never the same after God answered her prayer. Abraham was never the same after God answered his prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because it builds in you the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So here he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me.
Amen.
Maybe while we're still there, can you just go to chapter 5 of the same St. John? The Gospel of John, chapter 5. If we can read verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. You see, this was Jesus. Amen. And the disciples say, teach us how to pray. And when Jesus was saying, when you pray, say, our Father, who art in heaven. You see, that's why the Catholics took it. Every morning they repeat the same thing. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. It's the thing that's how Jesus taught his disciples.
Mm.
He doesn't teach like that. The Bible says, those who are of God are taught of God.
Amen.
How did God teach Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
He did not just come to Abraham and then taught him the things that he wanted. No, he put Abraham into a life.
Right.
He put Abraham into a way. And then Abraham, because of the nature of God that was in him, now walked, like God told him, walk before me and be thou perfect.
Amen.
Amen. As he was nearing the promise. Amen. Chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 5 verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God, and a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Here the Bible says, he was heard. Like he told his disciples, when you pray, don't be like the heathens. They think repetition of words. They think saying many things makes them to be heard. But here the Bible said, he was heard. By that he feared God. Amen. He lived a life pleasing unto God.
Amen.
So, when does God start answering your prayer? And when do you actually start to pray? It is not when you are in an emergency. Because you should know that the feet of the righteous are led of the Lord. So even if you come into a crisis, actually it's not a crisis. God would have already put you on the path of victory. Abraham got his son after 25 years. God called him, gave him the promise, and then started to reveal himself to Abraham. And you see, Abraham in chapter 12, he's building altars. Can you see? After he built altars, God comes to him in chapter 14. The desire of Abraham makes him to go and rescue Lot. God had told him, you are going to be a father of nations. And that fatherly nature was in him. Because the Bible says, the scripture preached to Abraham and he believed for us. Way back there, when he gave tithes to Melchizedek, he did it even for Levi, who was to come down the line.
Right.
So God here is dealing with the man way before he even asks or is given the thing God promised you.
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter 15 we see him here, God says, I'm your shield and your reward. In chapter 16, that's when Hagar came in. Chapter 17, God says, walk before me and be perfect. And the sign of circumcision, the sign of the covenant, was given him. In chapter 18, God himself comes down to confirm the promise.
Mm-hmm.
He says, next year, this time, Sarah will have a child.
Right.
Amen. Can you see? So God did not give Abraham, when he came here, it was after 25 years.
Right.
And because God gave him after he had infused, he had given him the life of God, it was not hard for Abraham at the end here to take that son and put him on the altar and say, if I kill him, burn him, you'll be ashes. Up when I say amen, you rise up again and you go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see what had happened to Abraham?
Amen.
Because of the life God had put him in. Can you see? That's why you need that faith for your prayer.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, you get what you need before you ask it. He says, if you have faith, you don't even have to come to the prayer line. If you have got faith, you receive it. When did you receive it? You don't start praying when the crisis comes. You have already been in prayer. Your life has been in prayer. Your life has been in contact with God. Your life has been in the line of the thing that God desires of you, because feet of the righteous are led of the Lord. That's what prayer is. It's not the words we say here. It's how we live. Jesus prayed his prayer before Gethsemane. But in Gethsemane, we hear now the prayer. But before, the Bible says, he was heard. Not because it was a crisis. He was heard. Not because the thing was serious. He was heard. Not because, you know, it was a sympathetic situation. God does not hear us because we are in sympathy. God does not hear us because we are in problems. God hears us because we fear God. When you start to fear God, it's not when you pray, but it's way before the prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because God has given you the knowledge of himself. And God has given you the promise and has imparted on you the divine nature. His very nature. So you know what we are doing? We are just acting what has already been put there.
Right.
It's just like a drama.
Mm-hmm.
That when you come here, you do this, you do that, you do that, you do that. Can you see? So, by the life and the things that God makes your life go through, when you come to the day of prayer, then you do it right. Amen. So he was heard. And can you see? The Bible says, when he was heard, it says, he cried with tears, prayer, supplication to him who could deliver him from death. He was heard because he feared God. And being made perfect, what perfected him? The life that he lived, the prayer that he prayed, it so much perfected him that God made him the author of our salvation.
Uh-huh.
Can you see where it came from? But when he was asking in prayer, he was praying for the things that he needed in his life. But that prayer had an impact upon him and God, that God did not only give him the desire of his prayer, but also made him a high priest. You see, Abraham, when Abraham was praying, he was praying for the son. And then God came down in chapter 18. He says, now Abraham, I'll give you the son. That was the answer to God's, to Abraham's prayer. And you never see Abraham praying again. After he received the promise that this time next year, Sarah will have a child, the next time Abraham is praying, he's praying for Sodom. When God has revealed to him that he's going to destroy Sodom, then Abraham starts praying. What if he finds 50? What if they are 45? What if they are 30? He's praying not for himself now. He's praying for the righteous in Sodom. He had prayed for his desire. And when he was through, he was made so perfect that God used Abraham to pray for sleeping Lot in Sodom. He did not know what was happening. But it took a righteous man to pray for Lot, so that when the angels reached there, he would receive them. Jesus, his last prayer was when he was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That was his last prayer. Amen. And then it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Not he says now, He doesn't say, now, oh, my problems now are finished. No. When he said, it is finished, it was for you and me.
Amen.
Can you see? That's where prayer took you. So prayer, in actual fact, is not for a problem that has come into your life. That's why I said in the beginning, prayer is not an emergency thing. It's something that, you know, brings into light that which God has purposed for us. Amen. He was heard because he feared God. How did he fear God? In the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What is the fear of the Lord? It is not to be afraid of God, but it is to reverence God. So the fear of the Lord is clean and it endures forever.
Amen.
It's not just a momentous thing. It is something that endures forever. That means it is something that is life in you. Amen. James chapter 1, he says, you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. You ask but you are not forgiven because you ask amiss. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus said, you don't be like the heathen. So prayer is not just words cooked up, correctly arranged. Prayer is not just good talking to God. Prayer is coming to God. Amen. Prayer is not prompted by lust, which is of the flesh. Prayer is the life that you live. Amen. Can you see how Abraham prayed? Let's look at Hannah. Hannah had a desire for a child. And you'll go and pray. Every year you'll go to Shiloh. Amen. And the Bible tells us that Hannah was loved of her husband than her co-wife. If you read in the book of Genesis, Rachel was loved more than Rhea. Is that right?
Yeah.
Rhea. Then God said, I'll give fruit to Rhea because she is not loved by her husband. And the Bible says, when she had that child, she said, now my husband will love me more because I have borne him a son. So you can see the mentality of the people there in the Old Testament is you love a girl because she's beautiful and like that, but after the beauty is gone and whatever it is, there is something that attracts the husband to the wife that was childbearing there in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So Hannah had no children, which was the key to be loved. But the Bible says her husband loved her more. Can you see? Why? Because if the heart of the husband is captivated by childbearing, that means already Hannah had children, though they were not yet manifested. What you need in your life, you already have it, only that it has not yet been manifested. So it takes prayer now for it to be manifested.
Right.
But it's already there.
Amen.
Because it's already there, you live your prayer.
Amen.
You live by the standard of your desire. So Hannah had that desire to have a child. Now when finally she got the child, she came to dedicate her to the Lord. She said, I don't even need the child for myself. When you give me the child, it's for you. Why? Because in the land of Israel, Eli and his sons were drunken, were in the things of the world. There was no light. God needed a prophet who had a desire to bring the children of God back to God.
Right.
And how did God start? He started with the heart of a woman who had a desire to have a child and give it to God.
Amen.
And when Samuel was born, Hannah dedicated the child to God. If you read in the book of Samuel, you see how the Spirit of God came upon Hannah. And she prophesied about the Redeemer who was to come.
Amen.
Yeah. Can you see?
Right.
So prayer is not just to get something here. Mm-hmm. Prayer is in the blood and in the work and in the perfection of God Himself. Even if you are praying for God to give you a pen to write with, it has got eternal destiny. It's not just for that. Because God is molding in you a character that will be, that will live forever. And when Jesus had prayed, he was given the priesthood of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Can you see that? Jacob, when he prayed, we all know that he had a problem with his brother. He was afraid of Esau. That was the thing. When he came to pray, you know, he has this desire. But I want you also to get me right. You know, we are not fanatics. Can you see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are not just like people of this charismatic anointing to whom everything is possible. When they come to a sick person, they prophesy he's going to be healed. You know, everything is just going to happen. There's a prophet in our land. What did he say? When we are on Easter, or when we are coming into Easter, he says, the Saturday before Easter Sunday, was Easter Sunday was the resurrection. So Easter Saturday, what does he say? He says, all people from the whole of the country, they should come to the capital city, Harare. Because that is the day of judgment. Everything is going to be judged. Your poverty is going to be judged. Your sickness is going to be judged. Everybody with a problem, come on the day of judgment. It will be judged. When Jesus rises up on Easter Sunday, you rise up a new man. All the country to come to Harare. I want to tell you, the poor came poor and went back poor. God does not do things like that.
Yes.
You see? We are not fanatics. But God has given, brought us to a life. You know, life is not all about fantasy. Life is something that is, you know, it's like you can see a big man. But it's not just that big. He was just a small, powerless baby in the arms of the mother.
Right.
That's where life comes from. And after 20 years, he is a man who beats everybody in the world. He's the heavyweight champion. But he was not just a heavyweight champion. He started from an infant.
Right.
For you to be the heavyweight, there's somewhere where you start with God.
Amen.
A life that must be lived.
Amen.
We are not fanatics. We are not just people who think just things happen. No. Things don't just happen. Things happen by the word of God.
Amen.
And prayer is our life that we live.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Jacob was afraid of Esau. Yes, he came to God and said, you know, when I cross this river, I have nothing. But it is you who gave me all these things. Now I hear Esau is coming. He's going to destroy me, the children, mothers, and everything. He's going to destroy me. Help me. He was in a dilemma. He was in a crisis. Amen. But he was right. He was just praying in the hands of God. But remember, he who is praying today, he did not start praying here. He started when he was in his mother's womb.
Uh-huh.
He desired the right to that promise.
Right.
Before he was born. The day he was born holding on to the heel of Esau, desiring that perfection.
Right.
When he was a young lad, he took the birthright from his elder brother. Mm-hmm. He had the desire for that which is eternal.
Right.
And when the day came, he prayed, "Save me from Esau." He was praying for something that was there. Yes, when you are sick, we pray for the sickness. When you are in problems, you pray for the problem. But what is behind this problem, God knows, and he has something that he wants to reveal.
Amen.
And bring into your life.
Yes.
Jacob, there he was praying, thinking about his cows, thinking about his wives, thinking about his children, crying, wooing, and shouting to God. Then a man came and wrestled with him. What was on his mind? His children and his property. There he was wrestling all night. When it was about dawn, the angel says, "Let me go." Jacob says, "I won't let you go." "Why?" "You must give me power that when I meet Esau, I knock him one blow, he's off." "You must give me power that when I meet Esau, I will wrestle with him like I wrestled with you and I overcome you." He did not say that. "I will not let you go until you bless me."
Amen.
What blessing? That which he desired the day he was born, holding on to Esau. That which he desired the day he bought the birthright from his brother.
Amen.
So prayer did not start on that night. It started way back then.
Mm-hmm.
And when he asked for something that was not even what the problem was there. And then he was granted a name. Amen.
Amen.
He was not given something naturally just to overcome Esau. He was made a prince before God. So from there, he went to meet his brother. When he was meeting Esau, when Esau saw Jacob coming, what did he see? He did not see Jacob. He saw a prince before God.
Amen.
Can you see? Even if it's your younger brother, when he is made Prime Minister of Singapore, when you meet him on the road, you give him away.
Yes.
Because he holds an office. You are not meeting your brother. You are meeting the Prime Minister of Singapore. So when Esau met Jacob, he was not meeting a Jacob. He was meeting the prince before God.
Yes.
Although the prince bowed before him, but he could not raise his finger against Jacob.
Right.
Because he was a prince. What is prayer? It's not just to receive what we need, but it brings us into higher heights. Mm-hmm. With God. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Hetty Wright said the desire of her children to get saved, but they could not. But what did she do? You know, we are told that the Brother Moni relates the story. She had a little farm where she was raising something like $100 a year. She was giving her tithe from that farm produce. And when they were building the tabernacle, she even donated $20, which was a lot of money from somebody who gets $100 a year to donate to the building. And Brother Brown actually wanted to go and give her back, but the Lord told him not to do it. Not only that, when Brother Branham will go hunting, he comes back through her home, should prepare food for him. Not because he needed food, but because he was a servant of the Lord. And she recognized it.
Amen.
It was not only that, but from her farm, she grew grapes, which she made into wine for the communion in the Branham Tabernacle. And then when she said those words, and Brother Branham says, "You have said the right thing. Ask what you need. She did not even know what to ask. Can you see?
Mm.
In herself, she did not know. What should I ask? Because God says, you are a poor woman. If you want $1 million, you will find it right there in your lap. If you want it. But do I need $1 million? What shall I ask? There's your sister. She's a cripple. Ask for her and she'll jump up and be whole. They are your parents. They are both old. If you want them to be young again, they'll jump up there and be young again. She did not know, what shall I ask? But why was she giving a tithe? Why was she giving the communion wine? Why was she serving the servant of God? She had a desire in her heart. And then she said, the greatest desire of my heart is the salvation of my two boys. And the Spirit of God gave her her two sons. Can you see prayer?
Amen.
It was not a crisis there. It started from way back, how she lived. The Shunammite woman is the same thing.
Right.
She did not even ask for it. Amen. And then the Bible says, Joshua, when he was fighting the war, he saw the sun was going down. And then he says, if I continue fighting and if the sun goes down, I want to win this battle. There's something that I must do. I must finish this battle while the sun is shining. But the intensity of the battle does not give me time until before the setting of the sun. So what does he say? Sun stand still and moon stand still until I finish this battle. And the sun stood still. And the Bible says, it was here that God heard the voice of a man. Joshua did not kneel down and pray, oh Father, may you stop the sun. He said, sun, stand still. He did not ask God to stop the sun. He himself said, the sun, stop, stand still. And the Bible says, God heard the voice of a man. So what is prayer? You can see. Now, it's not just holding hands like this and saying, oh no, Father. It's not just like that in case I fall from the plane. Prayer. You know, you can even pray, you can even command, you can even ask for a thing without even kneeling down, just in your heart. Amen. And God will grant it. Why? Because you live your prayer. It's a life that is lived. Amen. And then Jesus said, in closing, when you ask, we should say, our Father, who art in heaven. Why should you say that? Is it because you want to impress God? That God will say, oh, sure. He's saying to me, my Father. You know, when the white men came to our land, you know, they were clever, you know. So they would find out who is the most respected person among the tribes there. They found out that is the chief. They would say, this is our chief. You see how women would go to the chief and bow down before him. How big men would come to the chief and then sit down while he's sitting on his stool there. So the white man says, so the respected man is chief. So whenever he meets a black man, he wants to ask something. Say, hey, chief, what is the way to this place? He wants a favor from his chief. So that the man can say, oh yes, he's respecting me as chief. But here Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. Does it mean that you want to impress God so much that, oh yes, he said to me, my Father? It's not so with God.
Right.
There must be that relationship between you and him of father and son.
Right.
Father and daughter.
Right.
Amen. That's why I say prayer is not a crisis driven thing. You get it? When my son wants something from me, you say, Dad, I want a pair of shoes. Dad, I want money for school fees. Dad, I want a pen to write in school. Dad, I want an exercise book. Buy me an exercise book for my work at school. He's in need. He needs the shoes. He needs the school fees. He needs this. He needs that. And he comes to me and asks for the money. You get the point? Now, what makes him ask for the money? Because I'm the father. I'm the father because he's begotten of me. It is not because he needs the shoes. That need, that crisis makes him my son. It's not the crisis that makes you. That makes God your father. When you can come now and say, oh Father, with all humility and all subjectiveness and all that, you say now, Father. God is not impressed by that. You should say, our Father who art in heaven. When does he begin to be your father? If I have the money, if I have the riches, you know, people can come to me and say, excuse me, sir, I'm in problems, can you help me? He cannot come and say, you know what, sir, say yes, you know what, I'm your son. You are my son, yes, sure, I'm your son. I'm in problems, sure, I'm your son. You know what, I'm your son, you should help me. Do you think I would look to that?
No.
You want to cause problems with my wife? Because my wife is saying, I've got other sons, who am I talking about here? So you cannot impress me in that way.
Right.
You rather ask better, say, can you help me? Then I'll help you. You see? So God is your father.
Amen.
When? Because you're in problems. Then he begins to be your father now.
Amen.
That's an insult to God. He is your father because you are born of his spirit.
Amen.
He is your father. You have believed his word. He is your father. Your very life tells he is your father.
Amen.
Amen. You respect him. When it's time to worship, you worship him.
Amen.
When it's time to sing, you sing to him. When it's time to listen to the word, you are attentive and you listen and give glory to God.
Amen.
You are not bored when it's church time. You don't have any other business with him when it's time to go and worship.
That's right.
Can you see? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know somebody, there's a sister in the Philippines there. She's married and she stays in England. She says it's very difficult to testify to those English people. You tell them about salvation, about Jesus. So, Jesus, yes. When I was in school, yes, I heard about that. You know, they taught us in school about Jesus. What does he need Jesus for? He has got all the medical facilities. He's got a house before he's born. He's got money before he dies. He's got everything. What does he need God for? He's in all the comfort. Can you see? That's the problem sometimes. That alienates us from God is when we think we have everything that we need.
That's right.
When we think maybe money is the answer to everything. Maybe being young. You know, sometimes people, they think because they are young, they've got everything, they've got a greater future. No. That is not an assurance.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see?
Amen.
Because I've seen, you know, in our culture, when a small baby dies, maybe a day old, 2 weeks old, it's not buried by all the people. They take the old ladies. They are the ones who bury the infants. So can you see? All youth is not an assurance. Because we have it in our culture that it is the old who bury the young. So the young can go before the old. See? So when we come to God, He is our Father. We live the life of a son of God. We give Him reverence. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. And the knowledge of God imparts on you the divine nature. And that divine nature brings you into that fellowship with your Father. And when you come to prayer, it is complementary to the life that you are living.
Amen.
Amen. And then lastly, chapter 37 from the book of Psalms. Chapter 37, the book of Psalms. We'll read verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Can you see what prayer is? When the Old Testament talks of trust in the Lord, it means have faith in God. And then he will give you the desire of your heart. So, the desires of your heart, what you really need, what you want from God, is not given you because you have asked it in prayer, but you have lived a life that when that desire should be materialized, then you can come by prayer and then God grants it to you. So, when does God start answering your prayers? It is the time you start living your prayer.
Amen.
And then when you speak it out, then it shall be.
Amen.
For the Bible says, he will give you the desire of your heart. May God bless you. And may you pray for me.
Amen.
I believe in tomorrow. So I really need your prayers. Amen. And I believe you have lived in a life to pray for me.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.